Oh, Poodle, we need to record 90 Day Fiancé.
I don't know. What if we recapped another show? Would that be okay?
Oh my, how original. Poodle, you can do whatever you want.
Right, it's my show.
Our show.
Our show. Want to hear my idea?
You have to keep your clothes on.
Then I have another idea.
When you don't know which to pick,
a nice vagine or a friendly dick. Bye.
Bye.
Curious do. When you want another show,
not 90 Day, one we don't know. Bye.
Bye.
Curious
do. They say variety's the spice of life.
Why stop at just one husband or one wife?
Poodle, that's polygamy.
I'm sex positive.
So email, Facebook, send a text.
Tell us the show that we should do next. By Curious, on with the show.
Can you just saying, Poodles, please, just please?
Please.
Who says that?
My mother.
Yeah, exactly.
Jaybird, can we just please do this, please?
Fine, mother, fine.
Please.
How many times in your life did you make a dramatic exit and say, fine, mother, and walk
Lots,
out the room?
Lots, because I learned it, because my mother would say, fine.
You learn from the best.
Oh, boy, nothing more I love than a dramatic huff, to leave in a huff.
Your mother could never live in a loft.
No. Y'all, this is the, finally, we're doing our Bright Curious for July.
July.
Here we are in September.
September.
if you haven't been following the pod the last couple of months.
Yeah, welcome to Reality Gaze.
We've been utterly raw-dogged by shows.
Raw-dogged. Is this our first Bright Curious on the $5 tier, or did we do one before?
We did one before, okay. I think.
So we gave you a tip, and then we took it away.
My favorite.
Wow. Y'all.
I'm like, give me it all.
We've been raw-dogged the American way when it comes to shows.
Things are a little bit more back to normal.
Yes.
But we were, because of Darcy and Stacey came back, and then F-Boy Island we wanted to do on the free feed, because, and then we got, oh God, it was so many. So we got too many shows.
It was
too many shows.
Too many Mozart. Shows. And y'all, we're never doing that again.
No.
It was not, it was not.
Like 12 shows in a week.
Jake and I usually will have, like sometimes one of us will be in the mood where we'll say like, I don't want to do the show, or more kind of like, I don't want to talk about Mike and Natalie today.
Yeah.
But then we do it and we get into it. Afterwards, we feel a little bit like, lighter.
Yeah.
That month of July was rough.
It was rough. It's rough. And August has been a recovery.
Y'all couldn't hear, but there was one show where Jake just, we got a really long microphone cord and it was in his bedroom and he was getting fucked while we did the show. Just so he could, like, relax.
And you know what? I wasn't phoning it in.
You didn't even know, y'all.
Yeah. That's called professionalism.
I just stayed in the living room and put my earplugs in and just did the best I could.
You did occasionally hear,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And me saying, no, up there.
Yeah, I did hear that. And I think there was barking, but I think that was him. So
yeah, it's hard to. He has to bark really loudly with that mask.
Okay, exactly.
Yeah.
So y'all, welcome. This is finally my unorthodox
life. Curious.
By curious. I wish we could put the theme song in a minor key, but that takes too much work.
Da 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 da.
Bye. What would it be?
Curious. Well, the thing about it is, don't generalize about Jewish modes, but they do.
Yeah,
they do tend to be. It's not that they are minor. That's actually incorrect.
Oh, okay.
They are usually minor inflected modes that are due to folk music of the areas. Yep. Yeah. So it's not that it's minor keys, because that's saying that there are only two everyone's falling asleep, that it's only major and minor. These are about the seven modes that are there, which are much more interesting. To me, anyway.
No, that's a good point.
Like Dorian and
loved her.
Phrygian.
Oh, bitch.
Yeah.
Gluteian. Well, I'm allergic to that one.
Gluteian.
And then there's just Ross. That's a bitch mode.
Ross. So
we're making mode jokes. We have to move on.
So let's just kind of talk about what this, it's a Netflix show. We got kind of inundated with, oh my God, you guys have to watch this show. I jumped in. I kind of stopped around episode 6 because that was when we were getting raw dogged. And, but I was kind of obsessed with this show for a while.
I really like it. I've only watched the episodes we're going to talk about.
Right.
But I'm thoroughly going to watch the other ones. They're only like 35 minute shows on Netflix. They're not long on Netflix.
And I'm going to have you just watched it, and I'm going to have a different perspective because I watched it like 2 months ago, and then I went back in preparation for this podcast, and I rewatched. I have different ideas.
I'm
now
so glad you moved out of your other neighborhood because I would go because your last neighborhood. Now, I'm not saying
my last neighborhood was a primarily Orthodox neighborhood.
This show is ultra Orthodox. I used to, you know, I knew a little bit about Orthodox Judaism. I'd only been to like Reform temples. If you're new to Judaism, it's like
or don't know anything about it.
And if you're from Oklahoma, you don't. I didn't know anything about it when I came from. I didn't know there was different forms of. There's Reform Jews. There's Orthodox Jews.
Then there's ultra-Orthodox, which is what her community was.
Yes. Yeah, so I think probably the people that I saw in your neighborhood, was that more of an ultra-Orthodox?
It depends.
Because women were wearing the wigs. Well, they were wearing skirts.
Ultra-Orthodox usually depends on how strict the law is.
The law is, yeah.
So Orthodox, almost all Orthodox will wear, you'll see, it, but it's in different levels of traditional dress.
That's why I'm bringing this up, because I want people that don't watch, like,
women cover their hair.
But it seems different for different communities, different families. Like, we have an attorney in our office who's an Orthodox. She was Orthodox. Now I forget, but she's an attorney. She goes into work.
Right.
But she only wears dresses and things like that. But she doesn't wear wigs. She has.
Right.
Always, so
there's
just
a lot of different levels.
So I just want people
to think. It's not a monolith.
I don't want Carl's life to go, Carl, all Jews think we're going to wear acid shirts. I don't want that to be.
No.
And we are not Jewish, so we're not speaking for a community. The whole point of this is, y'all, if you're interested and curious about this, Google it. Do your own research.
Yeah. And but I can just tell you a little bit about what I know, because as he said before, I lived in a very heavily Orthodox community so you can imagine I fit in really well.
Well, you fucked a lot of Jewish guys.
I've never had sex with an Orthodox guy.
Well, I don't think.
Still hoping.
I think if you fuck an Orthodox, that they're not going to. Isn't there a gay movie about Orthodox?
Yes.
There was a very famous movie. What's that called?
Trembling Before God.
Yes.
Yeah, documentary.
Never saw it, but I've heard it's good.
But it was hard sometimes walking down the street, and I would see these men in their 20s going to temple on Friday nights.
Y'all nerdy Jewish guys
watching.
I'm just saying now, Jake wants to defile Ben in all kinds of ways.
Oh my God. I would destroy him.
He's a very attractive guy, but I watched this and went, that is Poodle's type.
That is exactly my type.
I think that's the type of guy
I would wreck him.
I think you're going to end up like, I don't think you'll ever get married, but
I'd end up with a Ben.
I think you're going to
end up with a formerly Orthodox. Now, I have dated men who were Orthodox growing up, and we've talked about it at length. Often when they're giving me their length.
All right, let's move on. So y'all, this show is called My Unorthodox Life because it's about this woman named Julia
Hart. And she's not just unorthodox, like she's not orthodox anymore. She's also very unorthodox. Get it?
She says she's not even religious now at all.
I want to bring up one thing because we're talking about that Orthodox Judaism isn't a monolith. This show kind of treats it like it is. And it's probably one of the biggest problems I have with the show.
And that's exactly why I brought it, because we live in a city where there are a lot of, I know a lot of Jewish, a lot of our friends are. So I just want to,
it's very easy to put this in. Orthodoxy is bad for all women, and all Orthodox women are enslaved. It's very easy to
y'all
say that.
Baptist. There's a lot of different Baptists. There is.
I agree.
Free will,
but
last will, his will.
That may be a little reductive in your own words.
I'm trying to put it in.
In Carl's wife's.
Because literally, y'all, you have to understand, I knew nothing about Jewish culture being from Oklahoma, because there are no, our good friend, which we're going to have her on the show one day, Sean Pulofsky, who's Oklahoma, and she is Jewish and looks like Barbara Streisand.
I didn't know she was from Oklahoma.
She's from Oklahoma City, and she's Jewish. She literally looks like Barbara Streisand,
y'all. I thought they have a bigger Jewish population in Oklahoma City.
No. Really? There, yes, but where I'm from, a small town, but it's like, it's still not really big at all.
When I was in Dallas, I was shocked at the Jewish population in Dallas. Because I worked at a temple
there.
How many
there were?
Yeah.
I never saw any, never knew of them.
Really?
Until I went to, one of my best friends is now a cantor.
Yeah.
And lives in New York, but she went to school at UNT. And so I would go to her temple in Flower Mound.
Yeah.
And then I would go to her temple, and then our friends, the Tillotsons, I would go to the temple because I just wanted to learn.
Right.
They were Reformed Judaism.
Right.
Which I really like, actually, as a religion.
Well, you know, where I do, I'm not doing it this year, but where I've done High Holy Days, where I've directed a choir for the last 4 years, it's a very Reformed temple in Santa Monica.
Yeah.
The rabbi doesn't even cover his head, which is, I had never experienced
never
before.
Never experienced that.
But I'll go, you know, it's for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. I'll wear everything because I do as a level of respect. Mm-hmm. I'll wear the
dress, the wig.
No, the tallits that kind of go around their shoulders.
Oh, I thought you would want to wear
and
the wigs.
But
they're like, Jake, we're not Orthodox, but I want to wear a wig.
I love those wigs, though. But, so when people who are watching this, and you, if you don't know anything about Orthodox Judaism, they are painting, Julia is painting with a very broad brush to tell her story.
Yes.
So let's get that out there right away.
It's just a lot, there's still a lot of anti-Semitic hate right now.
Yeah.
I just want people, this isn't just, I could see
Google
people,
is your friend.
Google is your friend. And again, it was something that there's a temple right across the Catholic Church, but it was closed by the time I was growing up. It really weren't any, because Ardmore was founded by Jewish people, but they don't talk about that in history. And like you go to Carter County Museum, they don't talk the Neustadts and the Dobbies. They all converted. And if you ask them, oh, I heard you know Ardmore was founded by Jews looking for a place.
I've never heard about that.
That's what she said. The woman, she said, we don't know about that, but we have the first Bible ever signed. I'm not kidding. And I was like, holy shit.
Don't know nothing about no Jews.
So anyway, y'all.
Google. So the premise here is Julia Hart is the CEO of Elite Models.
Yeah.
Y'all, this is the biggest modeling agency in the U.S., basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huge. And the premise of this, how a woman left religion, left Orthodoxy, and did something on her own, and all of a sudden she's the president of this. That's an amazing story on its face. I have some insider information that I'm going to share.
It's a little quick. You look at
I'm not going to do it now. But,
yeah. No, her story, that's...
It's very quick. That's what a lot of people were curious.
So, y'all, she grew up Orthodox, or no, she... Well, yeah, she did. And she was married in the... As she refers to, and I think this is a good distinction, fundamentalist.
She uses that word, and that word is always going to have a negative connotation for most people.
But that's how she's defining it.
That is. Uh-huh.
And she's trying to define... I think she's trying to define it because she says... Whether it's fundamental Muslim,
right.
Christian, that can be very oppressive to women.
Yes.
To other, so that's kind of her word for that. And but basically, y'all, she says that kind of going through her history. If you haven't watched it, then you should, because it is good. She never really wanted to get married, and she got married because that was decided.
Because that's
for
what
her.
You did. No, that's just what you did as that, a younger woman.
That is what. And so, kind of some things that I guess we should talk about that she talks about growing up, or just kind of being in this, is because episode opens with her talking to her daughter and son about sex.
About sex,
but
yeah.
That's kind of not really
that's,
where it's a cold
that's her
open.
Shtick. That's
yeah. her shtick. It's a, but really, so
here's, she did say naughty nurse, which I cackled at.
Because you have a naughty nurse outfit.
Tell me where I can make it better.
So she lived in it, and these are all of her words.
Muncie.
She lived in an extreme Orthodox religion, fundamentalist, as she says. She said
Yeshiva Haimisha. Like, that's the
there's
sect.
Things, and where they where this place that they is
upstate
in New York,
New York
is the largest or one of the largest.
It's not upstate, actually. It's not. It's in the middle.
But it's one of, I was Googling a little bit. I think it's like the first or second largest kind of Orthodox in the country.
Yeah.
So it's a huge community. Like, I think 4%, they said, of like Orthodox Jews live in that.
And it's not that isolated because you can easily be in the city.
You can easily be in the city.
Yeah. So it's not upstate. I've said it's just farther north of New York City.
And so y'all, it's things like, I didn't know this. You probably knew more but. Like, women can't sing, because if a woman sings, yeah. then a man could be attracted to her. It's all about not attracting these weak, weak men who just can't
give way to their urges. I don't know anything about that.
And yeah, she says, and you know, and you see this a little bit here in LA when you see that, you can tell this with the women. Your purpose is to not attract attention to them. Like, y'all, I love, you know, I'll see somebody on the street and I'll say hi and something like that. I know if I see a woman who looks like, or I won't say hi to her because I don't want her to be uncomfortable.
Well, in my neighborhood,
even though she don't have to worry about me.
In my neighborhood, the women, Orthodox women, will usually cross the street if they see an unaccompanied man.
Yes.
So doesn't
just
matter.
You know, this is where it literally is. Make yourself invisible to men.
Yeah.
So, and that's kind of the way Julia remembers it.
I tell you, though, when there was a rabbi and his wife lived in my building, and I would see her in the laundry, and we would speak then, and she was gorgeous, and that guy was a troll. And we would speak, and very, very personable. We never got really too much, because I'm not like you and your neighbors, because they share way too much otherwise.
Oh, I love my neighbors. We're all close.
But... when I would see them both, she'd never speak to me. She'd look down.
Wow.
So, yeah, even though we knew each other's names.
Wow. Somebody should make a movie about an Orthodox Jewish woman and her gay best friend that she meets in the laundry room. Laundry with poods.
Suds and Humintoshen. Soap suds and Humintoshen.
Soap suds. And so,
someone make that movie.
Now she tells, and y'all, I'm going to say this because it is. Julia tells this crazy story, just crazy, that, because I'm going to be fully honest, like, I respect all religions, but a lot of the stuff that she's saying that these people leave, I don't respect this. I don't. I think it's complete hogwash and it's just oppressive. This idea that one reason why you, she was saying that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Poodle. So if a woman, at least in her church or her religion, if a woman shows attention to a man, and it puts a special type of sin for her, but also for
her mother.
And for when they die, that means for eternity, the mother is dipping clothes in acid.
Yeah.
This is in...
I've never heard this.
Dipping clothes in acid and putting it on her. And then every day it eats her body.
Starts again.
And it's a groundhog day of acid blouse.
It does sound like something out of Dante's Inferno.
Or like Scientology weird alien shit.
And I can just say that I don't disbelieve that. I would think that she is highlighting the most extreme parts.
Of course. But I think for some people, this is, I knew Orthodox Judaism was strict. I didn't know it was, honestly, I only heard of this kind of like crazy thoughts with like right. Scientology or some fundamental in Christian things of you do this and them. And I was like,
right. And I'm never not here to defend before. Orthodoxy in general or Orthodox Judaism, but I know plenty of people who would say, yeah, that's really extremely Talmudic. So I'm saying.
So again, yeah, it's not every religion.
It's like when someone was critical of fundamentalist Christianity mm-hmm. and they would say, what? Because we're going to talk about the things when you use, if someone doesn't invite your house to them, you stone them.
Yes.
So I would argue that Christianity has just as many crazy out there rules.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Right.
Agreed. So I'm saying I didn't know that Judaism had those crazy
I
out here.
I see. Gotcha.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think this is
I
thought it was strict.
Yeah.
But I didn't and I knew a bit of like Reformed Judaism, y'all. Again, do your own research, but at least for my friend, like the temple she went to, like she said, it blew my mind. She was like, yeah, there's no hell here. We don't believe in hell. And I went, what?
Reformed
and
Judaism
I had, like,
is
holy,
a,
it's a
very philosophical
very
religion.
Very philosophical.
Yeah.
It's a lovely.
People, why don't you convert?
I don't really want to go to religion. But I have said, if I die and I have to come back religious, I hope to God it's a Reformed Jew.
I think you might break your mother.
No, my mom's not even religious anymore.
That's true.
She wouldn't care.
That's true.
Now, Aunt Peggy. Woo!
Aunt Peggy might have some issues.
Don't you know? How you going to be saved? What's going to happen to your blood, baby? We can't have them false idols.
He'll smite you.
God will smite you. God loves you, baby.
He'll smite you, though.
Y'all, she has said, God loves you, but he'll smite you. Oh, that's our God. He loves you, but he smites you.
She loves that Old Testament God. So let's kind of move in. She does say this, a woman cannot divorce her husband. A man can easily divorce.
Easily.
Now, that is true.
Yeah.
You would have to, it is, I don't know if you guys have seen Orthodox, the show, which is a drama on Netflix. It's incredible, first of all. A woman trying to get out of the Orthodox faith. Mm-hmm. She goes to, and the actress is phenomenal. And that's in New York City. That was kind of my, I knew about Orthodox Judaism before, but that was my, I'm kind of obsessed with it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it both titillates me and makes me sad because I hate to see women completely oppressed. But there are some Orthodox women, especially those who have reacted to this and saying, Julia Hart, we knew each other in high school. None of this is much my experience. So it is, know that there has been a lot, especially even in what I would call Reformed Jewish circles, mm-hmm. there has been a lot of pushback on her. Mm. So anyway, later on, we're going to, she acts like also she never went to school, but she did go to a Jewish yeshiva for women. I think yeshivas are only for men. But
she talks about that it's a different, at least in her words.
Yeah.
It's a different type of education.
Right.
That women are not, it's not this free thinking. It's really kind of just preparing them to lead a household.
Right. So she built an escape fund, you guys. She was literally, she's like, what can I do? I can sew, I can make. And I said, what can I make? I love shoes. So I'm going to make shoes.
No, she said she could sell.
What I could do is sew.
Sell. Because she started selling. She said that she started selling life insurance and annuities, and that's how she slowly started to build an escape fund.
I thought she said so.
No, I watched that part twice. She said,
okay, maybe I missed it.
Could sell.
All right.
And so she started selling life insurance and annuities.
Pronounced the same way as S-A-L-E.
She could sell.
And when she would go, things would go on.
Sale.
No, you said like I do.
So she built this escape from that, because she was doing that in secret. Like, her husband did not know she was selling annuities, all this shit.
Right.
And so that's how she built her fund.
But she did design shoes.
Later on, but that was after she was out.
Got it. So the question is, so she must have known how to do that. So that That's the part that didn't really compute for me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, y'all,
that you don't really understand where this whole fashion thing came from.
I have something to share there.
Well, I know.
So you, I may.
I know, but I mean, yeah. But the way the show is, you don't.
No, we don't. We don't know.
You don't. You're kind of like, wait, because if I was producing this, I would have said, you know, I had to make my own clothes.
Right.
I made my children's clothes. Kind of give us a little bit of.
Can I share that now? I have a.
Sure.
I have a friend.
Well, we should say, actually, so, because why we're saying this is that she gets out.
Yeah.
At 40 years of age, she finally has enough money. She said she just leaves.
43, I believe, wasn't it? Maybe I'm wrong.
No, she's, she told me, she said, I left when I was 40.
Okay.
And so she leaves, and then I think it was by 43, she started working in fashion business, and she said, one thing she could wear when she was Jewish is she could always wear shoes, even though she wasn't supposed to. She wore high heels
because
she was short. So she started making high heels. And then she said,
shoe designing.
And I wanted to make comfortable high heels
for
women. And then that took off. It was bought by some conglomerate, something like
La Perla.
That.
She got a job, the lingerie company La Perla, because she was working in tandem with them.
And then she started designing lingerie, she said, it really struck me that lingerie was designed by men that want women to look a certain way. And she said, it's crazy to me that there's, you know, bustiers and things back in that would break a woman's ribs.
Right.
And they're wearing this shit.
And this is all really positive, you guys.
Really positive. Yeah. So she wanted to create comfortable lingerie. So she did that. And then kind of that's
guess what she's CEO of Elite Models.
And so then you're like, well, how did you get into the modeling thing? And I think that's what you wanted to share. Yeah.
Yes. I have a friend, a gentleman friend.
He's got a lot of them.
Or may not have been inside me.
You kind of sound like Debbie now from Daisy.
I got a friend.
I have a good friend.
I got a friend.
Who told me.
Got a friend.
Can you tell me his name?
He said, I can't because it's second or third hand.
Yeah.
When the money runs out, he's gone. When the money runs out, he's gone. Rest in peace, Jackie Mason. I'm sorry I killed you.
Yeah, you did.
So, my friend who actually is a model, he reps models.
Okay.
And said, we're talking about post-coitus.
A little pillow talk.
Yes. That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah, I was trying to talk over it.
instead of putting me on the pillow talk.
Yeah, instead of like after semen bath. What? Jesus.
After the pugilism.
Yeah, let's pillow talk.
It's probably better. We were talking about reality shows. He's like, have you seen My Unorthodox Life? He's like, and I said, yeah. He's like, well, don't mention my name, but everyone in the modeling industry was talking about this show. It's like, here's why. She came out of nowhere at La Perla and met Silvio, who owned La Perla. So Silvio, he was actually working there at the time. Silvio, by the way, her current husband, Italian, wealthy, very wealthy man, started in fiber optics. So you can imagine.
She mentioned that.
She did.
Yeah.
So just for a little bit of clarity here, they were working together. Now, it's unclear when she became promoted there. I think she did that kind of, she became creative director without a lot of help from him. It's very unclear.
Yeah, it seems like she did a lot of that on her
own,
but we don't know.
They were seeing each other after a time. After she, when she was there. Now, guess who owns Elite Models?
Yeah.
Silvio. So that is a little easier to see when you ask, wait, how did she become a CEO of a model and a creative director? That makes a little more sense. Not that we don't all need a little help occasionally, but it makes sense.
I think we all need a lot of help,
right.
Honestly. I think this idea that we do it on our own is bullshit. But that's the way they're painting it on this
show.
And
that's why we're pushing back on that a little bit, guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because also, too, they don't want to say she married a man and got into a position because of the man when
exactly.
She left the man. It like goes.
It does not help their narrative.
When actually, it seems to show right now, they're the kind of the way they champion one another, and they seem like a great team.
Oh, I think they got a lovely relationship.
So, like, why not show that?
But I'm just saying that that was the biggest question that came out.
That's the that and the heavy-handedness of the show. It's very...
Those are the two problems I have.
They really want to... And I admire her actually a lot. I think she can be a nightmare.
I must say...
But it's very... Very much like putting her on the pedestal.
After watching this first episode of the show, when I first watched it, I'm like, oh my God, I love her.
Yeah.
She's great TV.
Yeah, she's a
star. So let's jump into...
So that's kind of her background. And so cut to now, they live in this...
She has four kids.
Ridiculous penthouse in New York.
And it
is beyond...
And it's decorated from like the MoMA store.
Yeah, it's... yes, it is the MoMA store. It's extra. It's extra, but it's like so incredibly expensive.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So yeah,
he's not a billionaire. Definitely hundreds of millions.
Her kids are all with her ex-husband.
Yes, Batsheva, Shlomo, Miriam, and Aaron. That's the youngest.
And Batsheva,
all the other kids are
Bot.
In their 20s. And Bot is married to Ben.
So kind of something that Julia wants to do in model. She wants to modernize. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a preachy. That's the word. The show's a bit preachy.
Extremely.
But I love her mission. I do love it because she wants to change and modernize modeling. She wants to basically put more power into the model.
These are all wonderful.
Build their brand.
Wonderful concepts.
Instead of it being a kind of a boys club of just picking models for their body. Yeah. And she really wants to, she wants to change that. So it's her and her assistant, Robert.
No, let's not say assistant, COO.
Oh, COO. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now,
it feels like her assistant.
The reason why it seems like her assistant is, here's more tea. I don't know. This tea has not been widely reported also. This is from my friend. Says, this is her best friend, who she just installed as COO.
The opinions of reality gays are not necessarily factual. They're opinions of Jake Anthony. Don't
this
represent
is,
the podcast.
This is someone who dicked me down a couple weeks ago and filled me full of information.
The same one?
As well as other things.
Yeah, because it does.
This is the same one, yes.
Her friend is, y'all, he's an assistant. You can tell.
I'm sure he knows about fashion, but, and you know, he is definitely on the show because of their relationship.
Yeah, they have a great relationship, but you could also just tell that it feels a little like... It's just her gay
best friend.
He's
her handler.
It's her gay best friend. He's from Wichita Falls, Texas. Y'all, that's like 45 minutes from Ardmore.
He's like a little sassier Ross Matthews.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he... So they kind of work in tandem together. He's like, if you fuck with Julia, she'll run you over. It's the most powerful and incredible thing I've ever seen in my life.
You're hired.
You're hired.
One of the other conflicts that I think is the most interesting about this episode and this concept is the Batsheva, her oldest daughter, was still brought up in Orthodoxy. And she married her husband. They've been married 9 years?
They married, and like 2 weeks later is when Julia left.
Yes.
So she planned this wedding. So, I mean, she even talks about it.
I think they said a matter of days. That's been disputed, by the way.
Ben even said, no, it's not days. It was like two or 3 weeks. But even Miriam said... Like, they're bringing up, and Miriam says, or the mom says, Julia says to Miriam, like, oh, remember when I took my wig off and you got, for the first time, you got so mad? Those things that y'all seem ridiculous to us of, like, why do you care? But these are things that they were taught as little children in their life that
it's
you just don't do.
Indoctrination.
Yeah.
Yeah. So she walks in jeans, and he's like, what are you wearing? He's like, I'm just really uncomfortable right now. I mean, like, he's just adorably stumbling over his words.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, what I could do with him.
Which you would say adorable. Julia and her sister Marion are like, they are like, have no patience for this.
What
and
do
we're
you think
kind of
about that?
Later.
I mean, I'm just wondering what you, if you think the same thing that I...
I think it's probably a little bit for just
my thing is
fire on the show.
Stay on your fucking lane.
But it's kind of like...
It's her marriage.
It's her marriage. So, yeah, I think that Julia is so... she has such PTSD from her experience that she can't help but not put that anxiety on her children when they look in any way that they're possibly accepting or being okay with something from their past.
And what's worse is that... Miriam, she took Miriam with her when she was 13, I think what it was. Maybe I'm thinking of another thing. But the fact that Miriam has experienced it, but not the way Julia did, she's almost, I'm not saying brainwashed Miriam of all this, but Miriam thinks enough to say, yeah, I don't think your husband's where you should be, to her older sister.
Yeah.
I was appalled by that.
Well, she's 20 years old, so too, maybe she's just young and she feels entitled to say that. Also, I haven't watched the other episodes. I don't know how Bot talks to Miriam about her life.
Yeah.
I mean, Bot does think that Miriam's just going through a phase of bisexuality.
I agree, but to...
But she hasn't told her that.
But to tell you that you need to... I feel like she's doing it just to be a little version of her mother.
I think possibly too. Yeah, I think yeah.
I was kind of like, "Good God!"
But I agree. It's none of their business. So, right. But she says her you know her views on modesty have changed, are changing.
Right. They're interesting because they're in flux. This couple
they're in flux
is
because Ben really thought he and Ben's family thought he was marrying into this. Very orthodox family, and then all of a sudden, that is turned on its head.
Yeah, and so I kind of understand them taking their time, and I feel like they talk well with one another.
Yeah, I think so too. It's like with anything, y'all. Everyone has their own. It's what I tell with like kids, gay kids I counsel, and they're like, "My parents doesn't like that. My mom doesn't like that I'm gay, and I came out to her last week." And I'm like, "They've got a coming out process too."
Right.
So that takes time.
So basically, Miriam is going on a date, a blind date with a girl.
She's 20. She's going to school at Stanford.
And she took a robotics. She wanted to take a robotics class, and they said, "No, we don't have this. We don't have people. This is that young." She was 13. She's like, "If I can break into your class, will you let me in?" So she got in.
So the thing I really love about Miriam, and it probably comes to what you were saying, that she oversteps sometimes, but I am like, if I had the confidence that this kid has at 20,
agree.
Good God, that's... Because she talks about in where they came, where their upbringing before, she does say that women didn't learn basic grammar. She said they don't, at least in their, they didn't learn history.
Yeah.
So for her to kind of come, this is their experience.
I know. I'm not saying she's lying about this.
Mm-hmm.
It felt really massaged by her mother's experience.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, we're all, you know, I think.
Let me clarify. A lot of what's being presented by all of this this narration is presented as fact. And I'm questioning that.
No, yeah. Well, that's why I keep saying their experience. And
right.
Also it makes sense why she would try to emulate her mom because that she... Who does she know in her life that's gone through some similar experience?
I totally agree.
So you've got to emulate our parents. That's what we do.
I think
she'll grow out of it. I think it's like with your even like as your politics. When you're young, your politics most of the time are like
maybe.
What your parents think, and then you start thinking on your own.
Well, the weird thing is this is normally a time of rebellion. And it's not that, so...
But she came from such a strict... Like, she feels... her mom is the ultimate rebel.
Right.
So she's, like, she's...
So she's rebelling against her sister.
Her mom is her Madonna to a little gay kid.
Right.
Like, that's her mom. And so she is... Yeah, that would be like, you know, when you were dancing around to...
No, I understand your point. I'm just saying it doesn't feel like a healthy dynamic to me, nor does it, and it feels like later on in the series, I kept feeling like she is favoring her younger daughter over her older daughter. because one goes along much more
it was
with
probably
how she feels.
Very, very hard for her to see Bot in that relationship with Ben, even though they're because she's traumatized, so she can't look at it.
Who is she? I'm sorry, I'm confused.
Julia, she's traumatized. She can't. Oh. She can't look at that rationally. There's no way.
Yeah,
there's no way.
But
I don't mean that makes it right. But
right.
I just mean there's just no way she's going to do that.
I think she. I agree with you, and I think there is trauma there, but it's the show had no self-reflection. There was no time when Julia just said, maybe I need to stay in my lane. Maybe there's a little bit with Silvio.
I think that comes out I think she's just not there in her process.
Yeah.
I think it's, that probably will come to her one day, but I think it's as if, it's like stages of coming out.
This is 10 years though.
But
she's
still,
been out for 10 years almost.
But she was in something for 40. So
yeah.
It's a long time of breaking that open. And when we have these revelations about things, you question it, you think about it, you start looking at people that you relate to, you start doing, but then you remember when you come out, like most gay, queer people, when they come out, often have this like, I'm here and I'm queer, get used
right.
to it. I went through that. I'm sure you went through that.
Yeah.
And I think she's still in that.
Yeah.
The reflective part comes afterwards.
Yeah, I guess as someone who would rather see things in grays, it's because I loved it when I first watched it, and this just turned my stomach when I watched the second time. Anyway, but let's talk about they're at the fashion show, and this is y'all. You know how
she's putting y'all it's something. They're the first time. The modeling agency started years ago.
In 1972.
So they're making a fashion line that actually is, I guess she's the designer?
Creative director.
She's a creative director. We don't know who or what the designers are.
Right.
Again, it's a little all vague. It's a little bit like...
It's why the show has a little bit of fakery to it.
It's trying to be like, I think when someone pitched this, someone said this show is a documentary meets Project Runway. Like they wanted.
I don't even think it's that. This is. They're trying to make this woman a celebrity.
Yeah, and so they're doing this. They're looking at all these shows. She decides that she wants to have. They're all wearing heels. She decides she wants them to wear boots. So then Robert has to get boobs. Boots, blah blah blah.
This is when it's a little Osborne-y, you know, that feels it's real, but it's also fake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cut to Ben's in bed and he's not wearing his shirt.
Okay.
He looked cute.
I went somewhere else.
Lie. He looked good. I'm not gonna lie.
And I will say I was shocked that a man who is Orthodox would allow himself to be filmed that way.
That's why I think
it's a little immodest.
I think their storyline's massaged. I think they want,
I agree.
I think they want to show.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
I minded. He looks good. Okay.
I think maybe they're reenacting. Probably.
Yeah.
I think this happened, but I think this might have been them 5 years ago.
Yeah. There is a cute scene with.
Bot says, I think that, because actually I was wrong. She has told Miriam that she thinks it's a phase.
Right.
Which is just as hurtful as telling somebody.
Right.
And so, I think that shows that for both of them, they're both overstepping their lane in their relationship.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they talk about that, and Ben's like, yeah, I think she'll probably end up being with a man too. I could see that. And, y'all, just don't ever say that to your even some kids do experiment with those type of things, so maybe it is a phase.
Yeah,
but
you're not validating their experience.
Yeah, just try to be as accepting. As long as they're not hurting themselves or someone else,
right.
It's going to be fine.
And also, you can't save them any type of pain. If you try
to take
it away or take away the option or try to prevent that, you're only delaying the inevitable.
Yes.
You're never going to. So if you're like, I just want to talk my son or daughter or non-binary child out of experimenting with the same sex, good luck. You're just delaying it.
Be that mom that tells your gay son who says, or your son who says he's gay, tell him about Boy Better and how he needs to use a lot of lube when he has butt sex. Listen,
he'll be horrified.
If he's just experimenting, he'll turn back straight real quick.
If you want to straighten your son, no, don't do that.
Yeah. So anyway, I just wanted to say that. So, yes. So, and then there's like, I don't really think it's a, but there's, it shows Julia and Robert working. I don't really care about any of this.
No.
She's working in a fashion house, whatever. Her husband's a loud talker. Who cares?
It's fun.
Blah, 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 blah. Let's talk about Shlomo.
Can I also just point out their meeting with this model, Lais, and she's like, I'm Brazilian, and they're talking about building her brand. She's like, I'm Brazilian, Latina, I'm a single mom, I'm a mom. She's like, wait, are you a single mom? She's like, yeah, my son's autistic. Perfect. Does he have a limp?
Yeah,
we could definitely really sell that.
It is very like, whoa.
It's like, how many more boxes can we check, Robert?
Yeah.
Can we get him in here?
Yeah.
That's when I felt a little
That was a little like, yeah.
Yeah. So, and I wrote down, here's the thing about Julia Hart to
but
me.
But she did say, Julia said, and I think what, because they had, she said, with all of this going on in her life, and she still shows up for a meeting like a lot of people do.
I agree. That's what she tries to say. She said, I said to about Julia, she's got a good heart, but this all is a little too good to be true. Let's put on a big PR campaign for Julia Hart. I don't know if you saw, she's also one of the producers.
Yeah.
And it's not like fourth credit. It's like second credit.
Yeah, because of her husband. Yeah, because what she does now. Well,
and so it's does. Not, but I'm saying a lot of times people will have producing credits in a reality show and it's like fourth or fifth credit. This is the second credit for EPs.
Yeah.
So this is not hands off, I get content approval. This is I'm writing content.
Yeah.
So just so we're clear, that's the difference.
Yeah.
So she is, Shlomo.
She's talking to Shlomo, and he's talking about...
He's had his first kiss.
How old is
Shlomo's cute, too.
He's what, 20...
He's 24, 25.
He's older than me. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 24, y'all, he's still a virgin.
Yeah.
So he just, again, 20. He had his first
Shlomo,
kiss.
Let's talk.
He might be like 22. I feel like he's younger than 24.
Why are you trying to make me seem like a lech?
I'm just saying...
Miriam's 20, though.
I don't think he's much older.
Who cares? So he was said he was taught the girls are bad and can cause you to sin. And they're talking about a girl that he kissed. Turns out she kissed him. And he's like, she kind of directed me. And I think Shlomo's adorable, y'all. He's just a clueless. She's like, Shlomo's my philosopher. And
he's 25 years old.
There you go.
There you go.
So She's kind of pushing him.
She said he's an intellectual.
Yeah.
And that he's eventually, she's like, he's going to get there. She said it takes a while to deprogram yourself.
See, she's patient with her male son.
Well, but I think
to a degree.
She's more patient with her male son, but it's so, she's too close to it with her daughters.
Is that it? Yeah.
That's the trauma of this religion, 99%, or this sect is a religion, is against women. So she's
I understand it.
Close to
I'm
her.
Still saying it's unfair.
No, I agree, but I'm saying it's just so close. She has no perspective.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying at the beginning. The show lacks perspective.
And I think I would be that way if I was a parent and still newly out of this. And I saw, if I was a woman or I was gay and I had a kid who was gay, who was in something that I knew could make them suicidal or depressed, I would be ravenous to get them out of that.
It is okay to understand it, but after a while we have to say, yeah, but this is not equitable.
No, I totally agree, but right. I just think she's nowhere near in her process for that.
Gotcha.
Could be a bit.
So he said, I'm more interested in dating now because in the Orthodox faith they were brought up in, there was no dating. Marriage was arranged. You were kind of put with someone, and that was it.
And that was it.
I think that's what happened to Ben and Bathsheba.
Yeah.
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 They just went, yeah.
Yeah. So it's they're talking. That's when they kind of talk about their families talking about Batsheva wearing the pants.
I think they're at Shabbat, actually.
And that's where Miriam says, I don't think you should have gotten married.
Good Lord. I was like, okay.
I want her to be independent. And Miriam says, I think you would be so much farther if he wasn't in your way. And Batsheva brings up a good point. She says, though, but you don't know what a loving relationship is because you didn't see that.
Read her for filth.
She said, you didn't see that with our family. And we, because at least what they show on TV, y'all, they do seem like a communicative, loving relationship. And she's like, there's compromise. This is my life.
We see them actually talking to each other and listening to one another more than anybody else on the show.
More than, yes. And Miriam's just like, she needs to wake up. And Bot's like, okay, I'm leaving.
Right.
So, anyway.
And then Julia's trying to get in on it. She's like, no one's going to tell you what to put on your body. Again. Know what's your lane and know that this tactic isn't ever going to help.
Yeah.
So.
Sorry. Got a little Darcy cough.
Let's do that again. Maybe cut this out so you don't immediately cough into the microphone.
Yeah.
When we go to a take.
Mm-hmm.
So Miriam's got her date, her blind date with Kai, who is also homeschooled. I said this was the most painful blind date I've ever seen in my life.
Why was it painful about it?
Are you serious?
What was painful about it?
They didn't know how to talk to one another. It wasn't about making pleasantries. It was jumping into, what do you do? What I like to do is, what do you want to do with your life?
It was painful.
Yeah. Thank you. I was like, am I going to have to tell you why this was a bad date?
It was it was just
so scripted and
it just seemed it just seemed like I didn't need to see this. Like she's going on a date, she's bisexual. That's great. Like
it didn't feel like two people actually talking to one another. It felt like, let's prove a point
to
show.
It felt like activism. It felt like they wanted to be activism, but coming from, I guess, from where they came from, that's important, but it just...
Here's the thing, though.
But like this, like when they kissed, I was like, they have no chemistry at all.
And that's the thing, you guys. We don't believe it if there's not a lead up. She just says, can I kiss you? And then she says, thanks.
Yeah. Can I kiss you?
Once again, please. So they basically say, they leave and she's like, they even say, comment, what a cute moment. Like it was an Instagram post. Is this the way younger people date now?
I don't know. I think it's.
I was mortified.
I don't know. I feel like young people have to grow up so much quicker now. That makes me sound really old, but there is like they get double majors now in college.
I was a double major.
But you were a freak in college. But like kids now, like they have to. And you wanted to do that. Now it's expected,
right?
If you want to have a job, there's all this pressure to know what you want to do. At like, especially city kids. I think city kids are. Think about when we used to teach at camp.
Yeah.
Those kids were New York, Boston, like city kids, Philly. They were very different than we were. We were just walking around hay fields looking at dandelions blowing in the breeze, trying not to think about dick.
It's a
very different perspective.
But what I was asking is these people didn't even, that's not, I understand that there's an idea for achievement, but that's not. That's unrelated to them not even meeting one another, not even talking about what they like to do. And she said, I design apps for women. They could have just switched resumes.
Yeah.
That's why I'm saying this was fake and activism. You're exactly right.
Positive. That's also a New York thing. It's a big deal in New York. What do you do? That's what people ask.
I know. I hate that question.
But
if
people
I'm
do that in New York all the time.
Yeah. I am not what I do. I am who I do. Oh,
she does a lot. She does a lot.
Let's move on to a scene. Julia and Silvio. Y'all, Silvio is Jonathan Pryce, the actor. If you don't know who that is,
not familiar. Look at
it. Come on. He was in original Evita. Or and I believe the
I think he also was in that second Casper movie.
Never saw the first one.
Oh, the first one's so good. I'll make a wish for you.
He was also the engineer in Miss Saigon.
Casper, it's Halloween almost, y'all. Watch it.
It's not almost Halloween.
It's getting there.
That's like saying it's almost Christmas.
My mama put out her witches on her mantle.
That's okay. It's too early.
It's too early too. But some people, I think people with everything being just, people want to celebrate a little more. So if you're stuck at home and you're quarantining, trying to be safe, you put up your Halloween decorations if it makes you happy. I don't care.
You know, it's not even cold.
It is in other places.
Your mother, tell her.
It is in your heart.
Tell her we disapprove.
I don't.
It's too early. Anyway, so the Halloween candy has been out for 2 weeks now at my Ralph's.
That been stressing you out, has
it? Yes. So
somebody wants some Milk Duds.
I love Milk Duds. She's talking to Silvio. They're at a bar, cute bar. And Julia says, my dream of my life was to be alone, to do things for myself. And Silvio says, you know, you're not easy, but easy is boring. And we find out he took her name because he was so impressed by her when they were married.
Said he took her name.
I love Silvio.
I love it too. And especially y'all, for an Italian man to do this.
Yeah.
Like, this is not the most, like, that's a big deal.
And then in 2 seconds later, they begin to chew each other's faces off when they make out.
They have passion.
But no, this is too much.
Yeah.
It's a public makeout, and they look like they're teenagers. I'm okay with kissing.
I want you to think about when the last time you did that in a bar in front of people.
Well,
No, you have no credit to...
That it looked like it was the makeout was a little extreme.
You have no.
If I was being filmed, I wouldn't have done that.
You would have done it more.
Maybe.
Sorry.
So basically, they're now at the fashion show, and Batsheva and Benjamin are confronting Miriam. Basically, he's like, she told me what. Also, this is not a good time.
They're at a fashion
horrendously
show.
Horrendously staged.
Like, hey, I don't like to tell my wife not to be married.
Horrendously staged.
And they're getting into it. Julia's starting. She's like,
Like filling with her hair.
Ben's like, I'm just asking for her to give my time. And Julia's like, that's the stupidest fucking thing I've heard in my life. I'm like, okay, you need to back down, Mom.
That's the level of when she was. If she was watching this back, because you know she did, she's like, can we do something that doesn't make me sound like a monster?
Well, and Bot even said, she said, what they don't understand is Ben was the person who was with me when I went through all this.
Right. And when I wasn't talking to Mom, Ben was the one who was talking to her for me.
Yes. So she basically says, he was my rock. He was my rock. So you're my rock. Got me so strong.
And then here's the thing. The big cliffhanger of this episode, there's a model missing.
She got arrested for weed, y'all.
She's out somewhere in the wilderness. Get a Saint Bernard to bring her some wine in a little barrel.
Spoiler alert, she doesn't show up, y'all. She's in jail. We see.
You know, Julia says something so ridiculous. If I wasn't here right now, I would go down to the station and bail her out.
Oh, for sure.
So anyway, she's like, I'll give you an opportunity. What do you think? Let's talk about the show. There was just a little bit of this on the second episode. What did you think of these clothes?
I don't even remember them.
I said they were unremarkable and they looked cheap.
I don't know if I remember thinking they looked cheap. It just looked like stuff you would see at American Eagle.
Maybe a little higher end.
But I wasn't impressed by it or anything.
Yeah.
It was...
That's the thing. I don't think this show billed itself as Project Runway. I think this is where the show is its most misguided, because what's interesting are the family dynamics. What's interesting is her, and the show learns that later.
I haven't watched, but I just, as someone, like, when I watched this first, I do think it was pitched more that way. Like, they, this is a problem with pitching. When you pitch shows, y'all, you've got to pitch shows. It's very rare where you say, we have this idea for a show. It's the main focus of the show. We're just going to focus on this woman and building a new life of being not in an Orthodox Jewish community.
Yeah.
And then somebody's going to say, what else? Can we put some fashion in there? Is there a gay kid? Is there a this? Is there some? And so I feel like this was pushed. If they added this, we've got to have more so people will be interested.
Is there a dog with bad legs that uses one of those carts?
Yes, great. Put him in there, Gary.
I love those dogs. Those cart dogs.
Because I want to watch the rest of the show. It makes me more. Makes me feel better that you said that. There's kind of less fashion as we go forward.
Yeah, it is.
But I do think it was pitched, or they pitched it and they needed the fashion to pump it up.
I will say it's a very compelling show. Mm-hmm. You guys, I would, if you're on the fence, if you're hearing me be more negative about the show, it's because of kind of revision. I really loved watching. I binged the entire 6 episodes in a day.
Yeah, they're not that long episodes.
It is very watchable. She is, Julia is very good TV.
She's great,
enjoyable.
TV.
That scene with her and her son at the table, which we're talking about.
That's episode 2.
Broke my heart.
But you should know what's interesting. What they do well in this show is they show people at, honestly, to me, this show is all about coming out. That's how I put it in my brain and conceptualized it. And so it's, she's in this process of coming out, and her children are all in different stages of coming out. And her youngest son, who is 14 now?
Now, I think when it was filmed, he was 12 or 13.
So, y'all, he goes to summer camp, and she comes back to see him, and he went to a very conservative summer camp. And he comes back, and now he's broken up with his girlfriend. He's not watching TV because that's not time for the Torah.
Yeah.
And basically, he's telling his mother, I don't really agree with the way you're living your life. And she completely freaks out because she feels like he's going backwards.
Yeah.
So
it was hard to watch.
It is hard to watch, but it's also fascinating just the levels of that. They probably don't though, because he probably, but the thing that I think is also left open on this show is, y'all, when she does go in the second episode, she goes to the house she grew up in. They go to the town that she, what's it called?
Monzi.
Or Munzi. Yeah, they go to this town, and she's in the house that she lived with her husband. The husband's in the bedroom.
Yeah.
So they get along.
They have a very uneasy relationship, but
Do you find that out more later?
No, we really don't see a lot of him.
I think he doesn't want to be on TV or anything at all.
Nope.
So, that is a little thing I think they just leave us confused about.
It would make the narrative very messy for her.
Because I think it's just, if you divorce this, if you are this woman and you divorce this person, and then... Now, and the part of the second episode is that Miriam decides she wants to change her name to Hart, what her mother's name, y'all, because she, the reason, so you, I'm glad they specified, because I thought, she changed her name to Hart when she got married to Silvio.
No, Hart was the name she invented.
She invented and changed her name legally when she left that life.
Because her name was Hendler.
And Silvio, like you said, took the name, and so now Miriam is taking that name as well.
Right.
So... You see a little bit of a conversation with her dad, but it's just, I get it. I almost wish
it would make it really messy.
Drop the fashion stuff a little bit more and added more of that. I think that would have been way more interesting to me.
There's more involved with Robert and her dynamic later on, and then there's a little bit more focus on him as well. The show gets a little messy as we go on. Mm-hmm. I need to finish it, but I'd watch a second season.
Yeah.
It was very popular for a while.
Oh, there's going to be a second season.
Yeah.
For sure, y'all. For sure.
But my verdict in general is It was
well,
not a lot of perspective.
How many dicks do you give it, Poodle? Let's use our rating system. Don't forget, is it five or four?
I think we're using out of five dicks.
Out of five dicks. So what do you give this show?
No, let's do four.
Let's do four, okay.
Let's do four, like 3.25 stars.
Yeah, what do you think?
I give this show, ooh, this is tricky. If I would have, on my first watching, I would have given this show 3.25 dicks.
Okay.
Now I give this show 3 dicks.
And I give it 3.5 dicks.
Oh, okay.
3.5 dicks.
Yeah, I'm like, this. It's totally watchable, you guys. If you're looking for something to binge in a day.
It's also informative. I mean, granted, it's coming from her perspective.
Yeah.
But that's her perspective, and that's valid for her.
And I would do some research on...
But it is eye-opening.
You want, yeah. But if you're like me and you want to know the real story... Google it.
Yeah. So there you go, y'all. Enjoy your June,
July,
May, August, September, whatever. Enjoy
August
your bicurious from 2018.
Exactly.
August is coming. And for August, your bicurious is going to be
so freaking cheap.
So, because y'all both, we just did the vote. And then Poodle will be putting out a poll
for September.
Like September in the next couple of weeks. And we'll get that done. We'll
we're
going to
do so freaking cheap because it was, I was going to do a little bit of, because it was so close, the poll for July. And I was like, we had so many people wanting us to cover So Freaking Cheap with fucking crazy lady with the butt towels and the rat poop dress.
And it recycled condoms?
And and it's all washing clothes
in
the
hot tub. You've
never
done that in a pinch?
No.
Yeah, me either. Okay, we should go. All right, everybody. That's the Bicurious Show. Thank
and
y'all.
That crazy woman trying to take down a load-bearing wall by herself.
Y'all, thank y'all so much for subscribing on the Patreon and Supercast. We appreciate you. Be sure to be on the lookout for that. We do the Patreon poll, so we still haven't figured out a way for Super Sissies to vote.
There's a way. We can make it a Patreon link, and they can put a link in the show notes.
Okay. We'll do that. So... We'll do a little. Maybe we can do a little episode and
no. We give them the link. Okay, yeah, we'll do a little quick episode.
Quick episode with show note, and then in the show notes you can look. So
thanks for we're talking strategy on the podcast.
Well, but no, you should know, y'all. For Supercast, we can't email you individually. Yeah. So that's why if we have an announcement or we want you to follow a link, we'll do like a little 2 or 3 minute audio clip of a show, and then the information you need will be in the show notes.
Yes.
So that's how we'll do it.
Yeah.
Y'all, we'll see you next time. Enjoy your Bicurious, but until then,
bye-bye.
Can I take my clothes off now?
No.